You guys want to welcome David? Thank you. Today is a really amazing day for me in a bunch of different ways, but I think this is my third Father's Day. But it's been a journey for me, learning how to be a son, and also growing in learning how to be a father as well. And so when Ben asked people to preach, I honestly just picked a day. And then I realized that it was Father's Day. And I was like, I just felt like God was like smiling at me and was like, see, this is your day. Like that was, I picked this day specifically for you. And I didn't try to pick it. So I just thought that was really special. So if you're a father in the room, would you stand, please? And everybody else, I want you to go around close. You don't have to touch them if you don't want to. We can have our 6-foot distance if you need to, or ask them or whatever. But I want you to pray over them, speak words of encouragement to them. These fathers have raised children who are now impacting the world in some form or fashion. And I just have it on my heart really to just honor them today. So just stand up right where you are. You can just stand up and go around them and just speak over them, pray over them, give them words. Let's just bless them this morning before we keep going. Yeah, so Lord, we just honor all the fathers in this room. We just pray for just strengthening of them, both physically and emotionally, and we just pray for their impact, not only on the kids that they are raising or raised, but also on other people around them as well. Jesus' name. Well, it wouldn't be Father's Day without dad jokes. So I got some dad jokes for you. I called the doctor and said, "My wife's going into labor." The doctor asked, "Is this her first child?" I said, "No, this is her husband." My wife just completed a 40-week bodybuilding program this morning. It's a boy, and he weighs 7 pounds, 6 ounces. I was telling my friend there's only one thing I really get scared of at Halloween, which is, he asked, exactly. Did you get it? Okay. What rock group has 4 guys who don't sing? Mount Rushmore. All right, one more. My wife said that quilts are better than duvets. I told her to be careful in making blanket statements like that. All right, I got a lot of things on my mind and my heart today, so I hope I can land the plane quickly and easily. But just a brief backstory, just why, like, just fatherhood and fathers and mentoring and all that stuff is, I'm super passionate about it. I think, and I'll go into this more, but I think the world, you know, we live in a time that there's a lot of fatherlessness in our generation, and we're called as people of Christ, not only myself as a man, as a father, but women as well, to be mothers, to be mentors, to be people that are encouraging. So we're all called, you know, in some form or fashion to disciple and to impact people's lives. And whether you're a father or your mother, it doesn't matter, but we're all called to something like this, you know. And I was raised in a single family home, and, you know, I have a good relationship with my dad. He lives in Missoula. You know, but he didn't live in our home, and he wasn't a part of my life on a daily basis. And, you know, I wished that was part of my life, but it wasn't, you know. And I've walked through a journey of learning how not to be a victim of my past, but to push forward and to find my true identity in God. And then also reach out to other men in my life that I needed that from, because I needed that. I had an amazing mom, but she's not a dad. And I needed that, and so I sought that out, and I'm still seeking that out to this day. And I'm really blessed to, I'm a single child as well, married into a seven sibling family, which is amazing. When I specifically remember when I was a little kid asking my mom for another sibling. Obviously, it's, you know, doesn't work that way. Can't just order one. I mean, you can adopt, but you know what I'm saying. And I always prayed to marry into a big family. Like, it was just always in my heart. I remember being a little kid just being like, oh, I want to marry into, like, this big family. I think that'd be so cool. And I did. And not only did I marry into a big family, but I married into a family that has a lot of healthy men. And I'm really blessed by that. You know, Ben has been a mentor for me since before I got married, when I first moved to Indiana in 2011. And through that, this thing's gonna move around. You know, I'm really good friends with Seth. Seth's not only my brother-in-law, but he's a really close friend to me. And there's things that he's spoken into my life that have impacted me like a father would say, you know, a brother would say. Josiah is the same way. I called him the other day to talk about some stuff and ask for his opinion on some different things. And so it's not just about, you know, older men for me, but it's also for any other guys that are around that can speak into my life and that I search out to speak into my life. So I just think that's really important. So I'm going to talk a little bit about just kind of fatherlessness and stuff and how we can impact. And I also want to talk about identity. So they're kind of two different things, but I feel like they're really important to me. just to kind of bring some context and some statistics, and then how we can change the world. In America, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, there's 19.7 million children in America. More than one in four live without a father in the home. One in four. There's 2 million single father households in America. There's 10 million single mother households in America. So God is more powerful than that. But that's a generation that we're in right now, you know, and I'm called to change that, generation. Some positive statistics about dads. Involved dads improve their children's overall social and emotional well-being. Children with involved dads, this is all coming out of the Census Bureau. Children with involved dads are less likely to be mistreated. Children who live with their dads do better in school. Involved dads reduce mom's parenting stress. Boys have fewer behavior problems, and girls have fewer psychological problems when they have involved dads. And involved dads lead to less distress in toddlers. So there's a huge importance, obviously. God designed from the beginning. He created Adam and Eve, and he created that to be a perfect unity for healthy parenting and raising of children. And I think it's time for that to continue and for fatherlessness to be broken in our generation. Chris Vallotton said, "Not only do we need spiritual fathers and mothers to arise and shine, but we also need sons and daughters to not act like orphans." And I think they go hand... I think they go hand in hand. We cannot be victims. We cannot be victims of our circumstances. Everybody has problems. When you become a Christian, your problems don't go away. You just have somebody on your side to stand with, you know? So I just believe, like, we're all called to father and mother people, but we're also called not to be victims, and we're called to search it out if we need it, to find people that can help challenge us and push us forward and become better people. Before I was a dad, obviously things change drastically when you have children compared to when you don't have children. It's pretty much nearly impossible to know what it's like to be a dad before you're actually a dad, and it has to impact you. And some things, some funny things and some serious things about the things I've learned. The funny thing is I hate messy things. Like I hate getting my hands messy. I will eat chicken wings with one hand so that my other hand's clean. Like, it's really funny. And you're all laughing because I have kids now. Like, but you can ask my wife, like, anytime London has messy hands, messy face, messy anything, I'm like right there wiping it up, like scrubbing her face. Like, it's so funny. And I never thought I would be like that, but like wiping snot off of her nose and wiping it on my pants. Or like, we went to Costco and she's eating like the little snacks before COVID, and she's got like barbecue sauce on her face, and I'm like, I don't have a napkin, I don't want my kids to, I hated to see little kids with messy faces. Like, it bothers me. And so I like would lick her face to get the barbecue sauce off her face so that she wouldn't have a dirty face. Like, it's gross, but it's really true. So it's like this constant thing with like, I don't know, I'm not really great at doing the dishes, but I'm really good at keeping my kids clean. So, you know, I feel like it's a good trade-off, right, babe? You realize how much you can function on a little bit of sleep. We've definitely gone through the roller coasters of newborns and then toddlers and then she was, she slept till 7 o'clock for like a year and a half, like from 7 to 7 every day. And then she started waking up at 5, and I'm like, oh no, how are we going to do this? And we tried to figure it out, and we got her at like 6:15 now. I'm like, okay, if we can pass 6, we're good. But another thing is, you know, my actions are now like not only seen by my kids, but they're also replicated, good or bad. They see the things that I do and they replicate them. They say them. Try to keep your mouth in check. And I was saying dang it the other day. I was like, dang it, dang it. And then like 5 minutes later, London's running around going, dang it, dang it. I'm like, shoot, shoot. Ah. But when I became a dad, I feel like I tapped into another level of the Father's heart, because you can now personally see how much love you have for your own kids. And it's like, man, if I have this much love for my kids, then how much love does he have for me? And when I see when my kids disobey, it makes me sad, but it also gives me so much grace for their process. And realizing that you're not going to walk with your first step, right? You're not going to get it right the first time, all the time. Yes, you're going to touch that plant. And yes, you're going to, try to touch a hot burner. Or yes, you're going to do this. Or yes, you're going to do that. But it's my job to teach them, to show them, and also have grace for their process, for them figuring it out. And then you see the success, and all you want to do is just praise them so much, because you see how hard they worked to get to that point, to have that success. And I don't ever want that success to go unnoticed either. And my heart to pray for them is huge. When we first had London, and I would go to work in the morning, Charity always has these like little songs that she'll come up with, and one of them was, I bless you in Jesus' name. So she would say that every morning when I left to go to work. And now I sing that to London like at night or during the day. She also has these songs from her childhood that I picked up. One of them was Safe Am I. All the verdicts know that song, but it's such an amazing little song. And I'll sing that to her at night sometimes before she goes to bed, or I'll go into her bedroom when she's asleep and I'll pray for her. And so for me to do that for her, for now my son, just to, like, the love of God and the prayers that he is always showering us with is so much more. It's hard to imagine how much more love God can have, you know, when I have so much love for my kids. In Ephesians 5, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know, this, I got really impacted by this verse pretty close to when I got married, or right before I got married. I can't remember exactly when it was, but, you know, as husbands, like, we're called to love our wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ died for the church. And I think as husbands, as men, we're called to die for our wives. We're called to die. Like I don't get married to get my needs met. I get married to die for her, right? Like I believe that's my job, is to lay my life down. And as I lay my life down, like, our family is healthier because of it. And a huge part of being a dad, I think, is I've heard that dads set a level of love in the house. So, like, if there's, like, the level of love that dad is showing, then that's the level that the whole household rises to, I think. And I think dads offer a lot of identity. You know, I think, Father God, like, he is, like, the ultimate identity giver. And I think as dads, like, we are called to speak identity into people. Like, there's something on men that speak identity that just pierces And I think that that's a huge role for us as men. Part of my journey throughout my life was that process of figuring out, like, okay, I didn't have a representation, a super godly representation of a personal father in my life. That was my biological father. So I had to figure out what that was and getting that identity through God and through other men. And I remember specifically a time I was worshiping, and this man came up to me, and he was a friend of mine. I knew him, kind of not a mentor, but like he was older than me. And he just started speaking, love. He's like, "I love you. You're important. You're amazing. You're powerful." And just started speaking all these words into me. And it started, that it was part of the journey of like helping my mind shift into like knowing my identity is in God, and that regardless of what my past was, like, God is my father ultimately, and he loves me and he cherishes me. And out of that identity, I'm becoming who I think God designed me to be. So I think, like I said, talking about dads, but we're all called in some form or another to disciple people. And fathers, mothers, I think that it's all important. Seth, when Seth mentioned this is kind of a rabbit trail, but when Seth mentioned Everest, I was thinking about it, and I think for me, I love watching documentaries, and specifically watching like either sport documentaries or some sort of like feat, like, hi, what are you doing? Hi, this is London. Hi. Okay, go sit with Mama. Go sit with Mama. Come here. Break your heart right there. Okay, I'm done. I watched a documentary, two different ones. One of them was called Solo, and the other one was a running documentary. And the one on Solo was this guy who was climbing a part of Half Dome that had never been soloed before, free solo, so without ropes, without any protection. And he did it, and it was an incredible documentary. And the other one was this group of guys that were training to, I think, run a marathon under a certain time that had never been broken. I don't know what that time was, but it was super inspiring. I think people that climb Everest is very inspiring, like without oxygen is amazing. And I think it's fascinating how when a human does something that nobody else has ever done, it completely like breaks the barrier. So like the 4-minute mile had never been broken, and then somebody broke it, and then all these people after that broke the 4-minute mile. So it's, I don't know, just I find that really fascinating that one person can do something and break something, and it will change everybody else's outlook on that problem. And I think that fatherlessness is part of that. I think we are called to break it. And as we break it, I think it'll be like this effect that'll happen in the world. And people start realizing that it's something important to pay attention to. So in my mind, I think, how do we get our identity down into other people? And I think it comes first, it came from God, right? So it came from God to Jesus. And in Matthew 28:18, it says, "Then Jesus came close to them and said, 'All authority in the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations.'" Oops, did I skip a part? Oops, I did. Sorry. Going back. So God speaking identity into Jesus. Matthew 3, Jesus left Galilee and came to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But when he waded into the water, John resisted him, saying, "Why are you doing this? I'm the only one who needs to be baptized by you, and yet you come to be baptized by me." Jesus replied, "It is my only right to do all that God requires." Then John baptized Jesus, and Jesus rose up out of the water, heavens open, rested upon a form of a dove. Then the voice of the Father shouted from the sky, "This is my Son I love, and my greatest delight is in him." So God is speaking identity into Jesus. I mean, I already think Jesus had the identity, but like these are just examples to me of like coming from the top. John 5:19, so Jesus said, "I speak to you timeless truth. The Son is not able to do anything from himself or through his own initiative. I only do the works I see the Father doing. For the Son does the same works as the Father, because the Father loves his Son so much, he always reveals to me everything he is about to do." So Jesus is connected to what God is doing on the earth, and he's watching the anointing of God and doing what that anointing is. He's following the anointing that God has set in front of him. In Luke 22, this is right before Jesus was crucified. He was withdrawn, and he knelt down. He was in the garden, and we prayed, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." The angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. So God sent the angels down to strengthen Jesus. So just in those verses, it's like Jesus had the identity, but he still needed some of that encouragement. You know, like he was asking God, he's like, "Please, I don't really want to do this, but if it's your will." And God's like, I'm going to strengthen you. Like, you're struggling, you're weak. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to send angels down to strengthen you. So he's building identity in Jesus and strengthening Jesus. So the next part about that, the next part is Jesus strengthening us. Chris Vallotton says, learn how to be a son or daughter. Spend time meditating on the truth that you are a child of God, from 1 John. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to prepare and heal your heart so that you can embrace a healthy discipling relationship. Believe me, God desires to bring people into your life that will encourage you, challenge you, and spur you on. So spending time with the Lord is the first step, right? Spending time with God and getting the words from the Lord speaking to you, building your identity in him. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and how you're living and what your life looks like. And I remember through my walk with the Lord, I remember getting to a point with the Holy Spirit and recognizing his sensitivity in me and in my actions and the things I would do, and could start sensing like, oh man, I said something to this person that probably hurt their feelings. So I need to go and I need to ask them about it and ask them for their forgiveness. And like, it was a process of me figuring that out and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit on like what my actions were doing and how I was acting and what my life was showing. The other part of that is living in relationship with people that challenge you and speak into your life. God designed us to be in relationship. He created relationship from the beginning. It was his idea. He created Adam and Eve to be in relationship with each other and with God. So being in relationships with people around you that can challenge you, that can speak into your life. If they don't know that they can speak into your life, then tell them that they can speak into your life, because sometimes people don't know that you actually want it. And so being humble enough to step out and just be like, "Hey, can you speak into my life? If you see stuff in me, please speak into my life." It is not easy. It sucks a lot. But it will make you a better person ultimately. Like the saying of going to the gym and being sore and ripping your muscles makes you stronger. It's obvious, right? That we always use that example. It's true. It's the same with people challenging you. It's really painful in the beginning, and it's hard not to be defensive and to jump back and to speak something lashing back. But it's super important just to be like, okay, just do it. And I remember, like, I still struggle with that, with like not with like defensiveness. I think we all at some level do. And I remember when I was in Reading, I was reading a book, and they were talking about that and about people challenging you, and I've really sought that out most of my life. But I got to a point where I was like, I need to be just like raw. And so I went up to a few friends and I was like, hey, you want to just like tell each other things about each other that like we should change? They're like, really? I'm like, yeah, you can start with me. Go. And we did it. And it was really hard and it was challenging and it's funny, but like it really changed me. And it made me really close to those people. Like I've had hard conversations with Seth and with Josiah. They've been really difficult, but at the end of it, we shot a really big buck. Remember that? Literally the night before Seth and I went hunting, we had this really hard argument, and then the next day we shot this amazing buck. It was awesome. But like our relationship is so much better because of it. And I think of a marriage as like the most in-your-face relationship that you have, and like the challenges that you walk through and the hard times, and when you push through them and you get through the other side, like, you just become so much closer. And you, like, I have more love in my heart for my wife now than I did 9 years ago when I got married. Like, the love has grown because our relationship is like twisted and turned, and like we've sharpened each other and we've become better people because of it. So Jeremiah 1:4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Like, this is part of your identity. He formed you. He knew you before you were formed. Romans 8, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. Knowing we are loved and cherished by our Creator is a huge part of our identity and a huge part of us being able to use that to impact other people. So the next part of this is, so we got God to Jesus, Jesus to us, and now us to other people. The Great Commission, Matthew 28. And Jesus came close to them and said, all authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to faithfully follow all that I've commanded you. And never forget that I am with you every day, even to the end of the age. I've been on a little bit of a journey over the last couple years just about just where I'm headed, like career and like passions and like life. And a huge part of that is having children. I think that's, for me, it's always been something that I wanted. And I felt like my whole journey and the growth that I've had has really inspired me to become a dad and a parent that there wasn't some of that I didn't get, but now I get to change that and push it on to my kids. But I remember Bill Johnson saying, like people would ask him, like, oh, what's my calling? What do I do? What, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, well, if you're a banker, then raise the dead, heal the lepers, cleanse the demons, blah, 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 cleanse the demons. Well, if you're in ministry, then raise the dead. And you know what I mean? Like, we're just called to do the same thing in whatever sphere we're in. It doesn't matter. Like, where's your heart? And where's your passions? Are you loving God? Are you loving people? You know, then do it there. I remember I'm now in operations, but I was I was a delivery driver for 5 years, and I went through all these ups and downs of not enjoying it and enjoying it and wanting to find something else and not finding something else. And I got to this point, God really challenged me, and he basically said, why can't you thrive where you are? Like there's nothing wrong with wanting something else, but if I'm doing what I'm doing with the wrong attitude and with the wrong heart and not actually trying to thrive where I am, then I've got the wrong mentality. You know what I'm saying? So I really got challenged in that moment to, like, how can I thrive even though I don't love what I'm doing right now and I don't feel like it's, like, my ultimate calling, but, like, how can I thrive in doing that? And there was a few different times that I got to pray for this lady who had really, really bad tremors. Like, she, like, shook like that when I met her. I was delivering wine to her, and she had to sign for the package, and, like, her hand just shook really bad, and I asked her if I could pray for her, and I did, and it really impacted her. And it was an amazing day, and I was like, wow, I can actually impact people doing what I'm doing. Like, I see people all day. So Chris Vallotton said that we're called to lead by example. It's our responsibility to be mothers and fathers to other people. Look at those who naturally seek wisdom from you. Make time to disciple them. Encourage and invest in their God-given destiny, and be known for the love of God that you carry. And Ben's talked about this verse a lot, and I just want to reiterate part of what Jesus did when he sent out the disciples. In Luke 10, he said, after all these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. He said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send you out. Go your way. I sent you out among as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. So you're praying, then people in your life that you have, like, we call them people of peace. Ben's talked about this many times, but, like, people that you have a connection with that just comes naturally. So whether they're Christian or non-Christian, or they're in your work environment or not in your work environment, it's just people that you connect with naturally. So praying, recognizing the people that you have peace on, that have peace on you. So if the Son of Peace is there, peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. So if you don't have peace, it's all right. Remain in the house, eating and drinking. Isn't that the best part? So we get to pray, we get to find people of peace, and then we get to eat and drink together. Like, that's the best. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat things that are set before you. Heal the sick, and say the kingdom of God is near. Whatever city you enter, they do not receive you. Go into the streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, wipe off against you. So if there isn't an anointing in that place, wherever you are, then don't worry about it. Dust your feet and move on. So a lot how we impact people comes out of our identity from the Lord. We can't disciple people out of a place of orphanhood. Because it will just spill over other people. So really working on that identity, because out of that identity, we will change people. We will change the world. We are called to call the gold out of people. There's lots of problems. Everybody has problems. But let's focus on the gold that we can call out of people. It's another way to encourage people. A couple months ago, I had a guy call me, And it was probably 9 o'clock at night. He was in a lot of distress over some stuff that was going on. And he's not the kind of guy that would just, that I don't have a really, really close relationship with him, and I didn't really expect him to call, but he called me, and he was just in a lot of distress. And I kind of basically asked him why I called him, and he basically just said, like, that he respects me and just wanted to hear what I had to say about his situation. And I got to speak into his situation. I got to love on him, and I got to speak words of encouragement over him. And those are the moments in life that I feel like I'm the happiest, is when I really start seeing the impact that I'm having, like, directly on people, and that they will pull on you, and they know that they can pull on you. That's the biggest thing, we're known by our love, right? So if we're known by our love, then people are going to come to us for love, right? We are to be earthly examples of Jesus. So let me just pray for you. Jesus, we just thank you for your identity that you are pouring into every one of us. And whatever stage that we are at in our identity, Lord, I just pray that after today, that there will be, I just hope that you're challenged, that you're inspired, and that God, I just ask for, Lord, just speak to people right now. Just speak to people in whatever way that you see and you want their heart to be either changed, or there's somebody in their life that they can be impacting, or somebody that can be impacting them. Just open your heart up right now, just to hear. I just pray for faces of people just to come into your mind, whether they're mentors or you need to mentor them, they need to mentor you. There's people of peace. I just pray for just faces just to come to mind. Yeah, and I just thank you for everybody in this room, mothers, fathers, that we will be people that are known by our love for others. That there will be an increase of love that people know in the work environment, not in the work environment, but that we're known by our love for people, and that they will be impacted by our love. Yeah, just fill us, Lord. Fill us with your presence. Speak identity into everybody. Challenge our growth. In Jesus' name, amen.